UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And there was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls.
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all enjoying your week. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. The first guest that joins us tonight is Nathaniel from Michigan in the US, sharing his sighting of multiple points of synchronous lights in the sky. Then we meet Mitch from Sheffield in the UK and hear about his encounter with a jet black diamond-shaped craft. Nathaniel is up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Nathaniel. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah, just outside of right in the metro area in Michigan.
Good stuff. Okay. Now, Nathaniel, you have an experience to share from this year. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yeah, it was mid-September. I am a little background. I'm just average Joe, whatever, but I've always been fascinated with the sky. I love astronomy, and I love the prospect or potential of, you know, alien or interdimensional. I'm a fan, let's say. Of all that is. That said, I try to keep my I try to keep my feet, you know, rooted in the ground and in reality and science fact. But there's fascinating stuff out there to learn. I think we're just on the kind of cusp of understanding how it all works, so to speak. So, anyways, I take my dog out every single night, and I usually spend my time staring up at the sky while my dog is doing his business, and I've telescopes and whatnot. So anyways, I walk out and it's September 15th. It's a relatively nice night, you know, we're just getting into fall here in Michigan at that point. It's relatively warm. And as usual, I start looking up at the sky and it's kind of patchy clouds. The clouds are moving through. I went back and looked. The wind was only like 6-7 miles an hour. But your typical kind of patchy sky. You can see some stars through it, but predominantly, or I guess 3/4 cloud coverage. And every once in a while, you see a little hole in the clouds, and oh, there's a star or whatever. Plane goes overhead. We're not too far from the Detroit Metro Airport, so there's frequent plane traffic that goes through. And so a plane is going over. I see a satellite kind of up over the horizon coming through. I I track all the major satellites with all the apps and the space station, all that good stuff. And then I see this, this is where it gets weird, because I struggle even, we're months past it now, and I still struggle to find words on how to describe it. I see this light, relatively small, but it's hard to get perspective, right? I'd say the cloud ceiling was probably in the 2,000 to 5,000 range feet. I'm not sure exactly what it was by any means, but that'd be my guess. And I see this light in the 500 to 2,000 or 1,500 feet. I'm trying to figure out while I'm watching it, get some perspective. Like, man, how close is that? I can see it clearly. And this little light, it does a circle almost, like this quick loop motion, and then disappears. And then quick loop motion and disappears. It's moving somewhere, depending on how high it is for me, it's moving somewhere between 15 feet and 50 feet in each full revolution. And very fast, like you would struggle to move your hand fast enough as you whipped it around. And I see another one, and it's about distance target. Let's say 20 to 50 feet from that, there's another one. And then there's another one, and there's 4, 5, 6. Then it maybe grows up to 20. It was hard to tell if it's a small handful of lights or a whole bunch of lights. It reminds me of, if you ever see a pod of dolphins or orcas moving in the water, you see fins breaking the top of the water and coming up and then going down, and you see a mass of them. But at any given time, if you took a snapshot of that, you count whatever, 100 dolphins, there's really 300 or 400, because most of them are underwater. And that's what the light looked like to me, where like, okay, I just saw one in this area, and then I saw one in the other area. Was it the same light that just moved? Or so it's hard to tell how many was. There could have been 50, 60, hard to say. But any given time, a single snapshot, there was probably 20, 25 of these loops. At this point, now I'm kind of dumbfounded. I'm staring up at this, and my brain, I consider myself relatively intelligent, and I felt stupid. I was like looking at this. What in the hell am I looking at? What? So I start going through my list of things that I use to identify whatever. All right, is a satellite? Absolutely not. Below the clouds, for one thing. The speed of movement. Outside of it being a lighted object, there are no similarities on each other. Is it a plane? Nope. It's a large mass. It's relatively close to me. It doesn't have any of the traditional plane arc or movement. Is it some sort of atmospheric phenomenon? Potentially. Nothing I'm familiar with, nothing I've ever seen before, but maybe, I don't know for a fact. Is it drones? Okay, that is a stronger possibility. Kind of weird, and it's pitch black at this point, nighttime, it's 9 o'clock, like winds, the cloud cover over my house, all these things, the speed of which they move, that kind of killed any drone possibility for me. Could have been a series of 100 drones, and the light wasn't actually physically moving, but the light was being spread through a series of displays or drones. I guess that's possible, but they seemed close enough where I would have been able to see a body of a drone, like the actual craft. And there wasn't. It was just the light. So I dismissed that. And next thing it kind of struck me was fireflies. I'm like, huh, all right. If you've ever seen, fireflies in the summer when they're way up high, a couple hundred feet or whatever, they kind of just flip. They just light up quick, and then they're gone. So I'm like, huh, that's what it kind of reminds me of, fireflies. It's a little late in the year for fireflies here, but definitely possible. But the speed of their movement, that, and the repetition as well, where this one light, any given one of these lights would be moving so rapidly in this one general area, like to see a firefly move, in a 50-foot circle in under a quarter of a second would be pretty impossible. So I dismissed that. Then, okay, is it Chinese lanterns or something like that? Okay, that's a possibility, I guess. If the wind was much stronger and moving rapidly, But the volume I'm seeing now in the 40, 50, 60 range covering this large area directly above my head. And they're not, the mass itself of light is not moving. It's stationed above my yard, head, house, neighborhood, whatever it is. And at this point, so this is progressive. Starts off with just a few, and now I'm probably about a minute in, give or take, and it's occupying a space that if I put my arms straight up and pointed them out at, let's say, at 10 and 2, if my arms are straight up at 10 and 2, that's the space they're occupying. Multiple football fields, 200 yards, 300 yards, give or take, this huge area directly above me. And they're zipping and zipping and zipping. And at this point, it starts to hit me that I'm looking at something otherworldly or top secret or something, right? Like, not, this isn't a everyday thing, at least not my everyday by any means. So it's, the dog is moving around there. I'm like, all right, I got to get my phone out here. I got to start acting here. I'm just standing, staring at this thing, and I want to document it. I want to try to start putting a list of things in my, you know, I want to document this. I want to try to capture this in some way, shape, or form. My wife's right inside, so I'm like, all right, let me go get her. You know, let me get someone else who can see this. And so, but I'm stuck. I'm just, my brain is still cycling through these things, and I'm looking at something that I've never seen before, and it's bizarre, and it's not scary in a sense that I think it's going to do something to me, but scary in a sense of, what the hell is this? You know, it's right above my house, right here. And then, so we look at this, it occupies the space of a football field, two football fields, so to speak. I can't really see, I can't see a definitive edge, but there is an area outside of where these lights are behaving, where they're not behaving, right? But I can't see any definitive sides or anything. I can't see any definitive craft, so to speak. Just these lights that appear to be on an equal plane of sorts. It doesn't look like there are huge variations in altitude between them. They look like they're all relatively flat, so to speak, on the same plane. And but they're all doing their thing. And then the entire mass, there's enough lights now where I can start to see a shape of the mass. That it's not just, while they are moving randomly, they are moving within a defined area. And it looks like a triangle, a square, a diamond, some sort of four-sided shape. And that's when it freaked me out. I don't know how to put it. So all the lights are moving and zipping around, so to speak. They're occurring every 1 to 5 seconds. So zip, 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 and they're all doing it. There's no coordinated elements between the lights that I could distinguish. They're all randomly firing, moving in these circles at space at this 100-plus-yard mass, square, or whatever. And I haven't looked down yet, transfixed by this, trying to understand it. And then the entire mass starts to shift. So the lights are moving within it, and then I can see the sides. I'm using my hands, like you can see what I'm doing. The entire square starts to rotate away from me. So the lights are all still doing their thing identically, but now, in addition to them zipping these little circles or big circles, whatever, the entire mass of them or blanket of them is also moving in concert together. This was the first intelligence movement, you know, together, right? All the lights before just moving around. Now, all of a sudden, this entire square or diamond is moving, rotating counterclockwise and starting to drift slowly away from me. And that's when I was like, oh my God, it's not Chinese lanterns. It's not fireflies. Go get my wife. Get someone out here to verify that I'm not losing my mind. And so I hop inside quick because I'm, you know, two steps inside my door. I'm yelling for my wife. And, after the fact, she said, man, your voice sounded very concerned or crazy or whatever. I said, get out here, you know, come out. She had an experience a couple of years ago, which was quite fascinating. But so she came running out and look, you know, as I start pointing and you see it. And she's like, oh my God. Yeah. At this point, it's probably half mile, three quarters of a mile away. So it took, the whole trip inside was probably inside, call my wife, back out, try not to kill myself and trip over the dog and all this stuff, probably 20, 30 seconds. And at this point, it's about a quarter, half mile away, starting to drift over towards the tree line. But I can still see it relatively well. Not as bright and definitive as when it was right over my head, but I could definitely see these lights moving. Oh, my God. So she confirms, yep, I see it. She's like, what the hell is that? You know, she starts going through kind of the same identification process. Get my phone out quick. Let's try to get a video of this. And as you know, and as anyone who's ever experienced anything, trying to capture something on your cell phone at nighttime with little blinking lights is near impossible. But I was able to capture it at probably three quarters to a mile. And you can, at least I can, I've tried to do my amateur analysis and brightened it and slowed it down and zoomed in and all this stuff. But you can definitively see corners of this thing moving, see kind of the motion of these lights. You don't see the volume of lights that I could see when it was right over my head. But, and it appears, initially I'm looking at it directly above me, right? Straight above. At this point, I'm looking at it at a 45 degrees, give or take. And it appears that it either rotated up on its side or it had a mass like a pyramid or a cube or something like that, because it appears now that the lights are north, south, east, and west. So I'm not sure if it rotated or whatever. So I got a quick 10-second video, and of course it's all over the place and jumping around, and you can kind of hear my voice telling my dog to stop pulling on the line. And yeah, so I kind of drifted over the tree line, and I hey, did you see that? You know, did you? Yep. And my wife saw it, and like, what do you think it was? And I kind of rehashed my story of what the first initial experience was, and she could tell how kind of excited and engaged I was, and you know, she let me kind of process and discuss. And needless to say, I didn't sleep at all that night. I was up all night, just what was that? What was that? What was that? Finally got to sleep, you know, 5 a.m. or so. And first thing when I woke up a few hours later, run down to my computer, move the video over from my phone and start zooming in and digesting it. And honestly, after a couple hours sleep, if I didn't have the video, I think I would have dismissed it as some sort of whatever. I don't know. because I woke up like, come on, that didn't happen. That was a little absurd. But I, as soon as I saw it on the video, it just kind of gave me a chill, and I'm like, no, that absolutely saw that. It was something. It went on later that day. I went on a MUFON. I went on the few major sighting boards, trying to see did anyone else see anything, and I really didn't see much. So I'm like, all right, let's submit a report and send a report out, and got a response a week or two later from the field rep, and the field rep got back to me, and I was disappointed, to be honest, and not in, I want them to try to debunk it, right? I absolutely, please tell me what it is. Cool. I have no personal stake in this. If you can prove to me or you know, show me that it was some blankety blank drones or whatever, okay, that's fine. I have nothing to gain by this other than I want to know. But it said, oh yeah, it was balloons filled with LED lights. And I was like, okay, hey, maybe it was. So I start investigating that, and I pull up a bunch of YouTube videos of balloons with LED lights and all that jazz. And I was like, oh man, it's not even close, right? Other than sharing, it was a lit up object. But other than that, there's slim to none that it was actually balloons with LEDs. But fair enough, he didn't see it, he didn't experience it. And so I with MUFON, you can file a kind of appeal, so to speak, that supposedly escalates it. And I just said, hey, you know, thank you very much. But this was, and I added a little bit more details that hindsight I've been able to put in. And like, this just wasn't, I don't believe that that's what it is at all. But again, I never heard back from him after this. One thing that struck me a few days later when I was out with the dog again, I remember seeing something. And here's where it turns into a slippery slope, right? When you look at the sky every night, you see stuff. And I remember about 3 or 4 weeks prior, off in the distance, seeing what I thought at the time was a plane. And when, you know, you see a plane in the distance, and depending on its safety light configuration, they kind of zip around, right? The little lights go from left, right, up, down, or right, right, up, down, or whatever. But this particular plane that I was looking at, which was a few miles away, seemed to be moving in a semi-similar way of what I saw above my head and occupying a space that was significantly larger than what a plane should be. And, you know, maybe I took my experience, the recent experience, and kind of overlapped it on what I saw, you know, a few weeks ago. But anyways, I'm just throwing that in there, that the potential I did see it a few weeks earlier at a greater distance, but not sure. And yeah, that's it. I guess it's a few months after, and honestly, I think about it every single day. There hasn't been a day yet. I don't feel like I'm obsessed or anything, but at least one part of my day, it occurs to me that, what was that? And it replays in my head, and I see it, and I try to figure it out. I go on, you know, insert form or, and hey, you know, look at sightings. Some people put in sightings years after. And so far, I haven't found anything. There's a couple sightings. They weren't like mine, but there were things occurring, you know, in the sky. Southeast Michigan is, from my experience being here a few years, there seems to be a lot of sightings here, but there seems to be a lot of sightings everywhere now. So, but yeah, I think about it all the time. I'm so happy it happened to me. I'm so happy I got to experience it. At the same time, I absolutely need to see it again. I'm thinking about finding a hypnotist that does regression just to see if I can recall more, to see if I can pull more details out of the experience, because it was awesome. I don't know how to put it. It was something that it's crazy.
Good stuff. And of course, this, you know, your sighting was so fresh. It was only September of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the basis for MUFON to say it was balloons with LED?
He really didn't. Hold on, I'm pulling it up here. He really didn't say. It was just, he stated that what I witnessed were helium balloons with blinking LEDs. And it, for the reason being, at the distance it was observed, it could literally be anything. And that felt like, did he even read my report? Like, it was above my head. Like, it wasn't, you know, miles away. It was right, quote unquote, there, so to speak. And that was about it. Like, no comment. I sent him the video. I did a whole, I did screenshot breakdowns showing the objects moving and didn't even address any of that. Just, you saw helium balloons, get over it, more or less. Like, huh, that's kind of a bummer. I had higher hopes, but hey, I, you know, whatever. I assume they're doing their best job, and that's probably a thankless job, and they have lots of cases. But yeah, it was a little disappointing.
Yeah, it sounds definitely disappointing. If you were seeing something like that in the distance, then maybe you could contribute to balloons or something like that. But like you said, you know, I mean, this is at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. So you're basically, it's the area of sky above you, which is the zenith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it occupied, when it was at its full motion, whatever you want to call it, like right before the mass itself started to rotate, it was huge. I mean, it wasn't like you could fit five big planes in it easily. I mean, it was huge. And it occurred, it almost looked, when it was at its full circling, blinking light, like I couldn't see, I could still see through it, right? I could see some clouds, I could see some a spot or whatever. So it wasn't like a dark mass or something. The only way I could tell that it was at least behaved like a solid object was when the entire thing rotated. So if you have 30 lights moving in sequence and individually, then all of those 30 lights at one time start to rotate at the exact same speed and destination, then it usually lends itself to being a singular mass. It almost looked like if it had predator camouflage, so to speak, like shimmering, right? Like these little, maybe they weren't lights themselves. Maybe it was picking up light from something, and based on whatever material this mass could have been made out of, it was just light refracting and shimmering off it. That's a possibility. I don't know. But yeah, once it moved together, almost in my head was this burr, this like crazy noise or something, because all of a sudden I was like, holy shit, this thing is, it's this huge thing and it's moving away. It's hard to find words. I don't usually find myself running out of ways to describe things, and it just kind of just breaks my brain a little bit.
So before you were observing the lights, then the lights would appear that they're actually on an object.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the only reason I'd say it looked like it was on an object is because of their behaviors, not because I could see any object, right? They all appeared to, all these little lights, so to speak, appeared to operate on a similar or same plane. Like if they're all on a table, there wasn't ones that were way up high and way down short, and they all seemed to be about the same general elevation from the ground. And then once they were all on, I guess, active and moving, and the entire thing shifted, that to me really felt like, all right, this is a singular object, or they're tethered in some way, shape, or form. They're, you know, if you had a, like, think of like a you've seen a drone show before, right? If you had a blanket of drones, 100 of them, and they're all stationary above your head, and then all 100 of them start to rotate counterclockwise in sync and move away from you. That's probably the best way I could describe it, I guess, with these zipping lights. They didn't make any noise, but just in my head, there's moving so fast, going around in a circle. And it would start at the beginning of the light is very bright. And by the time it reaches its full revolution, before it hits the full 360 degrees, it dims down to nothing. And then bright again, around, right again, and in different spots all over this, what I think is a mass. Sorry, I'm trying to like describe it the way I see it. You know, it's challenging. It's very challenging because I've never seen anything like it.
Of course. I mean, you can totally discount satellites because, you know, they move on a linear path. They don't, you know, they certainly don't zip around. And as for Chinese lanterns, well, you know, when you see Chinese lanterns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, like I said, I've been past 20, 30 years. I look at the sky every night, fascinated by it. I love it. I bust out the telescope. I look at all things from man-made things to, out in the universe. And I've seen unexplained things that I'm like, huh, what is that? That's kind of weird. You know, a light very far away and it's doing some bizarre behavior it's probably something man-made or whatever, but never to the point where I feel like I should fill out a report or I'm at a loss of words to define it. And this experience was so close to me, proximity wise, occurring right above my head, that to me, it left zero doubt that this was the stupidest stuff. This was something, right? I don't know what, but it wasn't a common occurrence. Behaved too bizarrely and massive in size. Massive.
How long would you say that you actually observed them for?
The total experience was somewhere in the realm of two to three minutes, give or take. Like the initial me just staring right above my head, at least a minute, maybe a minute and a half. It felt like hours, honestly. It felt like I was just going through just like this checklist. My head was kind of like, I'm looking up now as I'm talking to you, like my head was kind of stuck. I couldn't look away from this. And I start going through this checklist, satellite, plane, fireflies, and, you know, to start going through all these things of what in the world am I looking at? Why is it behaving like this? This is so odd. And yeah, that was at least a minute, minute and a half. It wasn't like a glancing zoom, you know, or something. It was there. And it was stationary, the mass, or at least the perceived mass. And then all of a sudden, it starts to rotate and move away from me. That's why I'd love to do like a regression or something. Was it there before? And it took some time for my brain to kind of see it, so to speak, because it was so odd. Did it appear when I looked up? Did it move over me? And I just didn't realize the mass or shape. I don't know. I don't know. trust me, no one has more questions than I do about it. That's for sure.
And what ended the sight in? Was it the clouds?
No, the horizon, trees. So it eventually gets about 15 degrees and 10 degrees, and there's a tree line a mile, give or take, right? It starts to break up through some branches and tall trees, and then eventually it's just like in the video and in the pictures, you can kind of see the tree line that starts to go towards, and then I wanted to talk about it, right? I just wanted to, like, I had to start processing it. I can remember the experience so well. It feels right now, it feels like I'm seeing it as I'm going through it. I couldn't tell you what the next 30 minutes after was like. My brain was going so fast after it, and I'm just trying, what was that? What? I probably said what in my head a trillion times. And then finally I was able to settle down and start digesting. And yeah.
Combination with excitement as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. My heart was pounding. When I realized, when it shifted, when it went from all the little circular moving lights to a large in sync mass of them rotating, you probably, if you're standing next to me, you could probably hear my heart. It was just boom. Adrenaline, huge adrenaline spike. And I don't know if my jaw dropped, but it probably did. Exhilarating,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Adrenaline is pumping around your veins.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though you couldn't see an object up there, you do believe that there was something up there?
I think so. I try to be, as I continuously search for some sort of explanation, I try to still, even though this thing broke my brain and broke my understanding of what I could see, right? Like there's UFOs, whatever, right? There's all the tradition. It didn't fit with a traditional sighting in a lot of ways. So that made it it makes it more complicated for me to digest and think about. But these things, all these lights moving, and then that moment when the entire, I'm calling it a mass because I have no other way of saying it, all these linked lights or whatever. Once that first shift, because it went from, so you're looking up the sky. Let's use drones. Let's use drones as an example. You're looking up the sky and there's 100 drones and they're in a grid pattern that makes a diamond above you, right? They're in a grid pattern that is 100 yards wide and they're all blinking or doing something different. And you can see them blinking stuff, but you can see that the blinking lights are not occurring outside of a certain area. They are contained within this shape, this diamond. The lights continue to do their blinking and their circling and whatever, but then you see that the diamond itself, there's so many lights at this point that when the entire shape mass does move, you can make out the mass, like, oh yeah, that's a diamond or a square or whatever. And it's now rotating away from me. So it could have been independent lights working together 100%. Like I can't, there's no way I can definitively say like, oh yep, it was totally a singular mass with all these lights on it, especially because I could see through it, but it certainly behaved like one. Absolutely. Yeah. It behaved like a singular mass. So is it cloaking element? Is it, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. A lot of questions. Government, something or other. Yeah, stealth. I don't know. Silent. No noise. No nothing.
And it certainly doesn't sound like balloons with LEDs. And there's also, you can get kites now which have LEDs, which look pretty, but again, it doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, all things being possible, there is a minuscule chance that it was that, right? Like I can't definitively say. And the color of the lights, and maybe that's where the investigator kind of drew that conclusion, because the color of the lights was a harsh, bright blue-white. You know, the type of LED, the white LED you don't want to look at. It's too bright. It's too obnoxious, I guess, for a better way to put it. And to me, at least, type of balloon LEDs, all the ones that I saw in videos, that's how it looked like. It's not a soft white. It's very glaring, bright, not lighting up a large area, but just very blue white, whatever you want to call it. So maybe that's where he got that from. But other than that, that's where the similarities stop. How fast they moved in these circles, so to speak, was, like I said, you could, if you took your arm and extended it and tried to whip your finger around, you couldn't do it fast enough. And they were covering a size that was 20, 50 feet radius, give or take. and repeating in the exact same space. There's just in my head, there's no way a balloon, let alone balloons, are doing that.
Yeah, that's not the behavior at all.
Mm-hmm.
And did he mention any UFO reports for that day in that area?
There were some, you know, I look all the time, not all the time. I look every other week or so to see if there's new stuff. There were a few within the general area, but nothing. One was a triangle, which was kind of interesting. That'd be closest similarity. Someone saw a triangle moving kind of in the semi-direction a few miles from me that evening. But there hasn't been anything that I've seen like, oh, man, they saw what I saw. But I think for the most part, I know all my social circles and, you know, the masses still don't, they think I'm bonkers. You know, my friends and colleagues and whatever, they're like, sure, whatever. So I think that most people, even if they thought, they probably wouldn't, you know, what to even say. I don't know.
But you were, you know, you weren't alone. You saw this with your wife, so.
Totally, yeah. And I'm so incredibly thankful that she was here to see it too, for my own sanity, right? Saw that, right? Oh yeah, I saw it. Okay, cool. So. I wish she saw it a little earlier. You know, she saw it at the towards the end of the experience, but just the fact that she saw the lights moving, that was validating enough. It exists, not my imagination. Yeah, and the video was very validating as well. And again, too, I don't know if I sent them to you. I'd be happy to send you my pictures and videos and all that jazz, and if you want to put it up there. Because I would love, absolutely love, if someone saw something around me, or I don't care if it was in the other part of the world, something similar, right? Someone experienced something with these lights whipping in these circles in this large mass, that would that'd make my day, just to know that. Because I've never, of all the cases I've looked at and all the stories I've listened to and all the people on your pod, you name it, right? I've never heard distinctly what I saw. It was very unique in a lot of ways. Some elements, shared elements, but it was unique.
Absolutely, yeah. What I'll do is I'll put the photographs and the video on the website so people can go and check it out. What area of Detroit was it, just for our listeners?
It's northwest metro area. So we're about 25, 30 minutes outside northwest. Yeah, I should look again. I haven't looked in about 2 weeks or so. I'll go back and check the boards and see if anyone has posted anything. Or maybe someone will hear this and hell, I saw that too. And it's hard to explain. It wasn't just like, you know, a disc or a triangle. It was this weird ghost ship. I don't know. It was wacky. It was awesome, though. I mean, yeah, a blessing and a curse, kind of, in a way. I'm so grateful that I saw it. It was so exhilarating and so fascinating. But at the same time, I feel like I need to see it again and I need to know more. And that's it's a rabbit hole, you know? there's a lot out there on the subject. And yeah. It's tricky.
Absolutely. It is a rabbit hole. Yeah. So hopefully if one of our listeners out there live in the area and has either seen or have heard of someone having an experience similar to Navanjor, then get in contact. I'm sure he'd like his mind put at rest somewhat.
Capturing stuff on a cell phone camera is bittersweet. And I got a great phone. I got a great camera, all that jazz. But at nighttime, at a distance, doesn't do it justice. But better than nothing.
They're just not designed for that.
Exactly.
It's like I tweeted yesterday, and it's to do with the moon. Now, if you if you connect the two points of a crescent moon up, so the two points, line them up, and they will always point to south. So we had a crescent moon last night, and I think I'll go out and take a picture of the moon, but it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you can barely see the moon, so I then have to take it off the internet instead.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
Yeah, so not good. So I get a lot of images where, you know, it's literally just a light in the sky and there's not really much. Obviously, the person seeing it, you know, they're seeing a lot more detail, whereas the phone is just not picking it up.
Yeah, I zoomed in, I stabilized, I have a breakdown of individual slides. And I think one thing I did capture well on a zoomed in clip, and I made a GIF out of it, so you can just get it kind of looped. But you see the motion of an individual light, and you see this arc, this circle, revolution, or whatever you want to call it, of this light going zipping around. And that to me, I think, is the most validating element of the video, because otherwise it's a couple blinking lights a mile away. You know, it's hard to make out the scope and scale of it in the video, but you can see that. I continue to make the sound for it because that's what's in my head, but rotation or whatever, revolution of this light.
Yeah, so we can certainly discount the balloons, but for now, It's unexplained.
Yeah, well, I'm out there every night trying to catch it again, so hopefully.
Well, good luck, and if you do see it again, let us know.
Will do. Thanks so much, Nick. I appreciate it. Flint, hey, Nick, I really appreciate your time and effort in the show. You do, like I said, you do an excellent job, man. I am an avid fan and listener. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, that makes me very happy to hear. Nathaniel, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
My pleasure. Hey, thanks, man. You too.
Thank you. Keep in contact, and we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Take
okay,
care.
Okay, bye.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, alternative archaeologists, remote viewers, and more.
As I was on the way to Area 51, I was stopping on the side of the road and just taking measurements, and I found this one spot where time slowed down by a fraction of a second. It's not supposed to do that.
From the two big categories, animal mutilations and human abductions, you have to conclude that genetic material is being harvested.
Well, I reached for a rifle, and I turned and looked, and it was already moving away, and it was descending the bluff. There's no way any human could have went down it. It was probably a 75-degree angle straight down, almost.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do not go any further. Turn around. Go home.
Good afternoon, Mitch, and welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you for coming on today, and you're calling from Sheffield in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Now, Mitch, you have some experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please?
Yeah, sure. Well, I've got two alien UFO experiences, and I guess I'll start with the, I don't know if either of them are less exciting than the other, but it was about 2018, and I'd started a new job welding, and I'd got a motorbike, and I was working in Barnsley, so I'd have to go along, a lot of the dark roads, and it was early morning, so there's not much traffic about, and if you've ever ridden a motorbike, you'll know that the 125 doesn't make too much noise. And the reason why I bring that up is because I saw a diamond-shaped craft to my right. And it was about 5:30 in the morning. And it was summer, so, it was light enough, but not too light. And I'd never seen any pictures of anything like this before until recently somebody put up a picture on a UFO group. The Calvin photo from Scotland was recently, declassified or found or something, and other than the colour, it was basically the same thing, but what I saw was at an angle. But what I saw was pretty much jet black. It made no noise. It didn't move. I've found no reports of it or anything like that, but it only lasted for maybe a minute, because obviously I was on my way and I was going down a bypass, so I was going about 50 miles an hour. So that was my first encounter.
You said it was just completely stationary?
Completely stationary. Didn't move. It wasn't as a classic UFO, like I said. It was more of a diamond shape, like the Calvin or Calvine. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. But it was completely stationary. It was at an angle, and it looked like a diamond, completely jet black.
And you're on the bypass. Was it on the left or the right of you?
It was on my right side.
It was on your right side, okay. How long would you say that you witnessed it for?
No longer than a minute, slightly longer maybe, because as it came into view, I've just come under a bridge, and as it came into view, I'm trying to watch the road and trying to look at the craft-shaped object. And I'm looking at the road, and then when I get a chance, I look back to my right, but it didn't move, didn't make any sound, didn't deviate. And I've looked at the area since, and there's nothing, there's just a field. And there is a power, I don't know what you call them, is it a power station? There's one of those to the left. I couldn't imagine what they'd need a power station for. But that's the only thing that's around there is a big roundabout power station field. That was it. And that was the first encounter.
And this was around summertime of 2018?
Around, yeah.
So it was early morning. You had good visibility.
Yeah. And I had my visor up on my motorbike, because if you ride a motorbike, you'll know that sometimes the visor can steam up, usually in winter, not often in summer. But again, it was a summer morning. Wasn't too cold. I like to have the visor up. And So I had, you know, I had excellent visibility, and he was just there, stationary in midair. And I've tried asking myself, maybe it was a helicopter, but obviously with riding the motorbike on normal roads and having a helicopter go overhead or as close as I'd say the craft was, you get the distinct impression that that was not a helicopter. It couldn't have been a plane because it didn't move at all. And the craft didn't have any propellers of any kind, no lights on it. I couldn't see any windows. I couldn't see any propulsion. I couldn't see anything on it other than a jet black craft that appeared to maybe have, I don't know, it's difficult to explain what it could have had. It was, you know, it was just black, but you got the impression it was, you know, it was some sort of material to it, but that's just speculation because it was only, you know, a minute or a minute and a half.
And you couldn't make any details. When you saw the Calvine photo, did it look identical to what you saw? Did it have like the seam along the center of it?
As I said, I couldn't make out any details of the craft, but the shape was basically, it was that shape, but just at an angle. So if you rotate slightly the Calvine photo, if you just rotated it slightly, that's what it looked like. And if you basically just took a really, really black and just painted it black, then that's basically what I saw.
Okay. If you remember, how high would you estimate it would have been?
Difficult one because... it was such a short encounter, and it was close, but it was not close, if that makes any sense at all. But I mean, it could have been 200 feet, could have been 300 feet, could have been 400 feet, because of where I was and where it was, you know, I couldn't necessarily say, oh, it was definitely at one of those. But it, you know, it was high enough in the air where it wasn't anywhere near the ground, but it wasn't too far that I couldn't see it. I liken it to when a helicopter comes down to circle over a housing estate when they're looking for somebody. But probably lower than that. You know, it wasn't a dot in the sky. It stood out, and it was, I mean, I'll say it was 300 feet.
Yeah, okay. I think a lot of people can relate to that as well. I have search helicopters go over this place constantly. The black ones, though. That's great, Mitch. Okay, would you like to move on to your next one?
Okay, the next one's a bit more out there. I can't say for sure this is what it is, but I went to bed one night, and I had a really weird dream that I was floating through the air, and I'd never had that dream before. I wasn't falling; I was getting, I was going up, but I was laid down. I wasn't in my house or anything like that. I was in the clouds. I don't know the relevance to that or anything like that. But yeah, I was going up, and then the next thing I know, I wake up. I go about my morning, you know, I have a wash and whatnot. And then my partner notices there's it's a very straight line on my neck. Looks like a scratch, but it's very, very straight, and it's about an inch long. So I'm like, oh, that's weird. And obviously I have a feel of it, and then there's like a little lump directly under it. And, you know, to the best of my knowledge, it wasn't there before, and there's not one on the other side, and it's still there to this day because, well, I mean, I don't know if you go and get that thing checked out, but, you know, I've not had any problems with it. But that wasn't long after I'd seen the spacecraft. I couldn't tell you exactly how long, but it wasn't, you know, it was in the space of a couple of months. I don't know if there's any connection there, but yeah, it's just a bit of a weird one. And then doing some more research into it, I can't remember which encounter it was, but somebody had some sort of device taken out of them. And I was like, oh, it's a bit of a weird one. But that was as long as that one lasted as well, unfortunately.
You said the mark was an inch long.
Yeah, it was roughly an inch long. There's no curvature to it or anything like that. It looked very much like a scalpel mark, but you know, it already healed. It just had a little line remaining. It's very clean. There's no scabbing, anything like that. And it was just there one minute, and then over the course of a few days, it faded, and there's no mark there anymore.
How long did the lump last for?
Oh, it's still there.
You still have the lump there now?
Yeah, you wouldn't notice it if you didn't feel it. It doesn't stand out at all. It's so small. It's maybe, I don't even know how to describe the size of it. It's not very big at all. You know, probably, I don't know, if you took at the end of a pen and then cut the end of the pen off and then halved it again, maybe that you know, it's really small, so it's not noticeable at all.
And it's at the side of the neck, below the ears?
Yeah, it's probably about 2 inches below the ear.
And you've never gone to doctors to have it checked out? Of course, any lump should kind of be checked out in any case.
Well, yeah, but I've had lumps before and they just disappear. And it's just one of those where you kind of, you know, you forget about it for a little bit and then you sort of, I don't know, you scratch your neck and you feel it again. You're like, oh, that's still there. So maybe I should get it checked out, but it's just never caused me any issues. And I don't know, maybe I'm hoping that I'll get further experiences from it. But, you know, maybe I'm hoping it wasn't just some weird dream and I just got some lump in my neck. But that's where I am with it. I don't know what I want to do with that. And I know it sounds weird, but, you know, the UFOs and the whole topic kind of fascinates me. So I don't know, if I want to get it removed in case it, you know, in case I kind of get taken out of the whole topic altogether, if that makes any sense.
There was a belief for a long time that they were like some kind of tracking device. I've never really believed they're a tracking device, because if they can come and take you any time, anywhere, then I think they probably have this technology on board. In any case, I think when people have these objects put in, I think it's more to do with health. I think it's more to benefit the person than anything.
That's an interesting way of thinking.
Yeah, that's what I reckon. Anyway, I would probably, obviously, if it's not giving you any problems, you know, it's not itchy, it's not hurting, it's not causing you any problems whatsoever, I'd probably just the next time you go to the doctor, don't specifically make an appointment about it, but you know when you're there and you're having a chat, to say, oh, you wouldn't just have a look at this and just see what they say.
That's a good idea, actually. Obviously not mention, oh, I think I was abducted by aliens and I've got this mark, would you have a look at it? I don't think doctors are most necessarily the type of people who go, oh yeah, let me just make an appointment for that.
Yeah, no, I would advise against that, because you might start writing you out a prescription for some kind of medication that they like to do.
Yeah, but that's the extent of my alien UFO experiences, unfortunately.
That's fine, Mitch. You have a paranormal experience as well?
Yeah, this one's a short one as well, unfortunately. All my experiences seem to be super short. Now, this one goes back to when I was about 15, 30 now, so, you know, half a lifetime ago. And I used to have a friend come over quite often. I lived with my grandma. And we'd often mess about and, you know, throw things around the house and whatnot. Not to break anything, but we were just teenagers having fun. And one night my grandma had gone out to her friend's house, which was literally around the corner. So I'm stood in the kitchen, and my grandma's house is not very big. So I'm stood in the kitchen looking out, well, not looking out the window, but the kitchen window looks onto the front door. And my friend's in the hallway. And the hallway also looks onto the front door. And this is important, because we'd lock the front door, because we used to go upstairs and we played a lot of music, like a lot of guitars. So if anyone was at the door or anyone come in, we wouldn't have heard them. So we always locked the door. So when we're upstairs, you know, we don't have to worry about random people coming in. And so I'll get back to the story. We were in the kitchen. Oh, I was in the kitchen, sorry. He was in the hallway. We was throwing this styrofoam circle thing to each other like a frisbee, and then out of nowhere the front door opens and then slams shut. So I look out the window and he looks down the hall, expecting to see my grandma coming back, but you know, there's nobody there. I never see anybody, and I would see, you know, anybody that had come to the door opened it and then run off, because the field of view is unobstructed, and he obviously would have seen anybody who came into the house, but there was nobody there. And we couldn't understand. And we tried going, oh, well, maybe there was a bit of wind, but we'd locked the front door and, you know, it wasn't a windy night. So we couldn't wrap our heads around it. But later on, my grandma did say that my dead auntie, I should mention, does live in the house with her and sort of watches over the house when she's not there. And I know that sounds a bit crazy, but that's the only logical explanation I can sort of come to, is, you know, we were messing about, my grandma had told us to sort of stop messing about, and then my dead auntie had opened and slammed the door to sort of go, you know, you've been told. So that was one experience. I do have another one, which I didn't witness it myself, but I could also go into that one if you'd like.
Yeah, sure, go ahead, Mitch.
So again, it's to do with my grandma and my auntie. So we'd moved house, and we'd not moved that far, really. It was something about a 10-minute walk. But the person that moved into our old house was experiencing, don't know, just like a very uncomfortable atmosphere. The cats were coming back sort of, I don't want to say disfigured, but, you know, they've got like wounds on them, and nobody could really go upstairs without like a really dread feeling. And so the woman contacted the grandma and said, you know, I think you might have left something here. I think she knew that, you know, there was some sort of spirit there. And my grandma instantly knew, because she'd taken it from one house already. So she went to the house, sort of told my auntie, you know, come on, we've moved house, and brought her with us, so to speak. And that's the other experience. So again, and it's not very long one, and I didn't experience that myself, but I did hear when she went to collect my auntie, after that they didn't have any problems in the house and everything was fine again.
Interesting. You know, I've said this before, when family members die, it makes a lot of sense that they're going to keep watching over the family. And obviously your auntie was only there periodically. Obviously your grandmother had moved house and she didn't realise, and she obviously turned up, saw a load of strangers probably in the house, and then probably started playing up a bit.
Yeah, I've been in my grandma's house when she's been on holiday, and I've looked after it, and I felt sort of an eerie feeling. But I do remember my auntie being a really nice lady, and, you know, we had a good relationship. But I'm guessing it's when someone else is in the house, it's not my grandma, she's not happy. So.
Not happy about it.
It's from sort of those experiences that I don't really like to delve into the paranormal, because it sort of freaks me out. So that's another reason why I don't click on the paranormal episode. It just doesn't sit right with me. I don't enjoy those at all.
Keep you up at night. Well, it's one thing listening or watching stuff like that on TV, but when you actually live in a place that's haunted, it can be a little bit of a different story.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great, Mitch.
I've not told anybody other than my grandma, and like I discussed it with my friend that was there with me. He had an experience as well, but that's the only reason why I told him about my experiences, because he told me he had an experience, and I was like, okay, well, he's not going to think I'm too crazy. But I wouldn't go around saying it to everybody, you know. One of them really wouldn't.
Yeah, no, of course not. And a lot of people don't. A lot of it is someone brings it up first, and then they go, oh yeah, I've seen this, or a family member had this happen, you know. So but a lot of people have these accounts, you know. You'll be pushed to find anyone that, you know, even if you walk into the pub and you say to someone, and I'm guaranteed there'll be one person that will say, yeah, I have, or I know someone that has.
Yeah, well, I imagine a lot of people have seen some things, but you just don't say they do.
They just don't say they do. A lot of people keep it to themselves, because a lot of time if people only tell their family and close friends and never anyone else, then we'd never hear these accounts. So, you know, by doing this and people coming forward, they are sharing these accounts, and then it's being absorbed and listened to all around the world. And then people say, my God, that's exactly what happened to me, or that's exactly what I saw. So it does work.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing. And like I said, without you and other people hosting podcasts, a lot of people wouldn't put any credit to their story. You know, because I saw this, you know, am I the only person that saw that? And then you start thinking, oh, well, maybe I didn't see that. Maybe I didn't get abducted and had something put in my neck. You know, that's what I've asked myself. And that's why I've never said anything, because you think, well, sounds a bit far-fetched.
But, you know, truth is stranger than fiction. I mean, of course, you should never jump to conclusions. That's why I don't really have a particular agenda on this show. Either I just keep it, you know, people are sharing their experiences.
No, I completely agree. I just... as far as I know, I had a dream that I was floating through the air, and then I woke up when I had scratched myself, and, you know, it was a very perfect scratch. Sometimes you've got to draw the conclusion, sometimes you've got to sort of just go, nah, that wasn't anything. But, you know, to me, I thought, kind of, it's all a bit too convenient, far-fetched it sounds, but, you know, sometimes you just got to get it out there, and maybe someone else experienced it, like you said, and, you know, and it works on the podcast, because you reach other people that think, oh, no, I am a bit crazy, that never happened. And then somebody else hears that experience, go, oh, actually, maybe I'm not.
Everyone that listens to this show, you know, they are very like-minded, whether they've had an experience themselves, or they just want to absorb and listen and understand more, you know, broaden their horizons. But the fact that you had a dream and then noticed the mark, I mean, that does coincide with a lot of people which have had foreign objects in their, you know, in their bodies. Like I said, you know, next time you're a doctor, just say, any idea what this could be?
Yeah, I'll definitely bring that up next time.
Mitch, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
No problem. Thank you very much, Nick.
You got it. All right. Take care, Mitch, and I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, see you later, Nick.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
Bye.
That's all for today. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Nafandro and Mitch for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.